You're cruising along at 8,500, maybe somewhere over the Midwest, enjoying a smooth ride, and then you see it, a gray shape pulling alongside your left wing, an F-16, canopy to canopy, close enough that you can see the pilot's visor. What do you do next? More importantly, do you know what that fighter pilot is telling you without saying a single word? I'm Tower, and this is Atis on Radio Hangar. Today, we're going to walk through something every pilot should understand, but very few have actually studied: the international intercept signals, the silent language between a military fighter and a civilian aircraft that determines how that encounter ends. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's set the scene properly. Intercepts of civilian aircraft by military fighters are not common, but they are not as rare as you might think. They happen in the United States, they happen over Europe, they happen over the Middle East, and they follow a codified, internationally recognized set of visual signals published by the International Civil Aviation Organization, or ICAO. In Annex 2, to the Convention on International Civil Aviation here in the States, you'll find the same information in the Aeronautical Information Manual, Chapter 5, Section 6. The reason this matters is simple. When a fighter jet pulls up alongside you, there is no common radio frequency guaranteed. You might be on a sender frequency, the fighter might be on a military tactical channel, you might not even have a working radio. And even if you do, language barriers can make voice communication impossible. So, decades ago, the international aviation community developed a visual signal protocol, a playbook, and both sides, the intercepting aircraft and the intercepted aircraft, are expected to know it. Here's what you need to know. The intercept sequence almost always begins the same way. The fighter approaches from behind and to your left, your port side. This is deliberate. In most aircraft, the pilot in command sits on the left, so positioning the fighter on the left side gives the best chance that the civilian pilot will actually see it. The fighter will then rock its wings, a slow, deliberate roll left to right and back again. Sometimes they'll flash navigation lights at irregular intervals if it's nighttime. This is signal series 1 from the interceptor, and it means one thing: you have been intercepted, follow me. Now here's where it gets critical. Your response matters. If you understand the signal, you rock your wings back, that's your acknowledgement. I see you, I understand, I will comply. Then you fall into formation behind and slightly below the fighter. The fighter will then lead you, typically to an airport where you'll be expected to land. But what if you can't follow? What if you have an emergency? Or the fighter is leading you somewhere you physically cannot go? You need to know the signal for that too. If you cannot comply, the ICAO protocol says, you rock your wings. But then you make a distinct turn away from the fighter's heading. This tells the interceptor, I see you, but I cannot follow. The fighter pilot will then reassess. Let me walk you through what happens in a more escalated scenario. If the fighter rocks its wings and you do nothing, you don't respond, you don't acknowledge, you just keep flying straight, that fighter pilot now has a problem. They don't know if you're incapacitated, if you're ignoring them, or if you simply don't understand what's happening, so they'll try again. They may reposition, they may fly across your flight path, and this is a key signal. When a fighter breaks away from your aircraft with a sharp turn, climbing or diving, and crosses your flight path, that's a signal too. It means you're cleared to continue. The intercept is over. You may proceed on your way. But here's the one nobody wants to see: if a fighter deploys flares or makes aggressive passes in front of your aircraft, that is not a greeting. That is an escalation. It means you're in serious trouble. You have not complied, and the next steps are not going to be pleasant. Let's talk about what triggers an intercept in the first place. In the United States, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, or NORAD, coordinates with the Federal Aviation Administration to monitor air traffic. The most common triggers are flying into restricted airspace, temporary flight restrictions, or special use airspace without authorization. Think presidential TFRs, major sporting events, sensitive government facilities. If you bust that airspace and you're not talking to anyone, fighters can be scrambled. After September 11, 2001, this became a much more serious matter. The protocols didn't change fundamentally, but the tolerance for non-compliance dropped to zero. And the standing rules of engagement, while classified in their specifics, are understood to allow for the possibility of lethal force as a last resort against a non-compliant aircraft deemed a threat. That is not hypothetical. That is the reality of the airspace we fly in. Now, the headline doesn't tell the whole story. These intercept signals are not just an American thing, they are global. A Turkish F-4 will use the same wing rock as an American F-15. A Royal Air Force Typhoon will use the same signals as a French Rafale. This is one of the few areas in military aviation where true international standardization exists, and it exists because the consequences of miscommunication are catastrophic. Here's something that should concern every general aviation pilot. A study of intercept incidents over the past 2 decades shows that the majority of civilian pilots who were intercepted did not immediately recognize what was happening. Some tried to call air traffic control, some froze, some actually tried to outrun the fighter, which I shouldn't have to say is not going to work in your Cherokee. This affects you if you fly anywhere near restricted airspace, and honestly, that's most of us at some point. The practical takeaways are straightforward. First, know the signals. They're in the AIM, Chapter 5, Section 6. Read them. Memorize them. Second, if you see a military aircraft pulling alongside you, do not panic. Rock your wings to acknowledge, follow the fighter. Third, squawk 7700 if you can. That's the International Intercept Squawk Code. It tells everyone on radar what's happening. Fourth, if you have a radio, try 121.5. That's the universal emergency frequency, and it's one of the first places a military pilot will try to reach you. Fifth, and this is the most important one, comply first, ask questions later. You will have plenty of time to sort out the paperwork on the ground. You will not have time to sort it out if you ignore a fighter jet. There's a nuance here worth mentioning. The signals work both ways. ICAO also prescribes signals for the intercepted aircraft to communicate back to the fighter. If you're having an emergency, you can flash your landing lights. If you need to land but cannot follow, you can lower your gear. If you have retractable gear, while flying in the direction of an alternate airport. These are small details, but in a moment of genuine crisis, they could be the difference between a safe outcome and a terrible one. I want to add one more thought. Pilots tend to think of intercepts as something that happens to other people, to the guy who wasn't paying attention, to the pilot who didn't check NOTAMs, but TFRs pop up with short notice, GPS databases go out of date, radios fail. Circumstances can put any of us in a position where a fighter shows up on our wing, and when that moment comes, the only thing that matters is whether you know the language. Credit for today's topic goes to Simple Flying for their piece on intercept signal protocols. If you want to dig deeper, pull up the AIM or ICAO Annex 2 and spend 10 minutes with the intercept procedures section. It's dry reading, but it's the kind of knowledge you hope you never need and absolutely must have. I'm Tower. You'll find more at RadioHangar.com. Go read Chapter 5, Section 6, then go fly.